morning, Washington, D.C. What's up, everybody? Time to get up and at 'em here on a Saturday morning in the nation's capital. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio here on D.C. Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. We are simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Download it today for free anywhere you get your apps at. AUDACY. That's AUDACY. Gives you the ability to pause the show, run some errands, rewind, and then pick up right where you left off. You can call in. I like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. 1-800-636-1067. Metal Chris running the ones and twos. He'll get you on hold, and you can chime in throughout the show today, live and local till 12 noon. That is 1-800-636-1067. Bright and early here on a Saturday morning, May 16th. Call me NBA Wad as the NBA playoffs roll on. I am so locked in. I have activated and engaged my playoff mode here on The Fan. And it is the series that I expected in the West and a series in the East still undecided. Tomorrow night, Game 7, the best two words in sports, Game 7 in Detroit to see who advances to take on the New York Knicks in the Eastern Conference Finals. And where are all the Knicks haters at? Those that thought that Mike Brown was not the right head coach for the job, look what he's done. And they've had a full week of rest now. That's going to help OG Anunoby as the Thunder are getting set to take on San Antonio. And they've had time for Jalen Williams to get healthy. It does feel like in the West it was inevitable that we'd get OKC against San Antonio. That's the best team in basketball, the Oklahoma City Thunder, the team that's had the best record in basketball, and then the team that's had the best record against them in San Antonio. And I think we could be seeing who's the new face of the league here. Is it SGA who's trying to win back-to-back NBA championships? Or is it Victor Wembanyama, who's quickly becoming a household name? The alien Wemby has been unreal for the Spurs in the last few games. Wemby against Chet down low. Fox against SGA around the outside. The second round of the NHL playoffs has been a ton of fun as the quest for Lord Stanley's Cup continues. And Major League Baseball rolls on this summer. How about the Nats winning on Hot Dog Day against the O's, beginning that three-game series at Nats Park? But you guys know, if you listen to this show, the biggest thing on my mind today is the NFL schedule release. The NFL has done such a great job marketing their schedule release to basically dominate a day, a night around the country on social media. Fans of all 32 teams were locked into Twitter to see their team's schedule release video. What's cool from my perspective is I've been in that war room, all right? I worked as a video editor for the Washington Redskins for the football team, and I know what it's like on schedule release night. I know what it's like being in those editing rooms when you're not given the full information and you're editing things together, and then all of a sudden they drop the real schedule on you and you have to get it ready to release it online. Those social media teams work so hard for a three-minute clip, and fans love it or hate it. I thought I went through all 32. I thought it was a really good job by these social media teams this season. You know, a few teams whiffed. The Cardinals whiffed. The Lions decided strictly business. All right, maybe you spent so much money on changing uniforms or something. I really enjoyed watching those videos. But, of course, the one that I cared about most was the Washington Commanders. They threw my guy Bill out there as Bill Nye, the science guy. Bill's back at running back. Bill. And you guys know how much I've liked the moves Adam Peters has made this offseason. I think that it's going to be an interesting running back room with Bill, with Fat Man Catron Allen, and Rashad White, who I'm hoping will make a massive impact and will be more of that Austin Ekeler role that we saw in 2024 that was so crucial for this team. And so it dropped on Thursday night, all the NFL schedules, and I spent all day Friday talking about it on my show and looking at the schedule and over and over and over again. And as I wake up today, Saturday, May 16th, it still feels fresh It still feels fresh, I'll admit. I already made it my new wallpaper on my phone. So every time I check my phone today, I see that schedule. The 2026 Washington Commanders season schedule. And my first thought, probably like a lot of you guys, it starts very difficult. I talked so much last year about how we got the greatest week one game, the game that I wanted. Week one to start the season for the 2025 Washington Commanders. We got a home game against the easiest team on our schedule because I predicted the Giants were going to suck, the Giants were going to fire their coach, and Russell Wilson wasn't going to work out, right? And we got that week one. Week one, the perfect week one matchup last year. This year, I think it was the worst case scenario. Week one on the road against your biggest rival, the division champions, in their building against the Philadelphia Eagles. I mean, I think everybody had the first thought. That is a very difficult game to start the season. And then you're turning around, you're playing Dallas week two in Dallas. In Dallas. And I think everybody said the same thing when you looked at the second half of the schedule. Wow, is it ease up? Man, you look at the Arizona game, Tennessee, even Houston, Atlanta. My goodness, does it ease up? And hopefully we are healthy enough that we can make a run at the end of the season. I took calls a ton yesterday on my show. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. And a lot of people were saying the same thing. Can this team in 2026 hover around 500 and then get hot, right? Can they hover around 500 and then get hot? And the Washington Commanders' schedule release came with a lot of hype because it's such an important season. It's been the longest offseason of my life. I've been waiting and waiting and waiting for this team to play football. It feels like the offseason started in November. So the schedule comes out. I'm super excited. Give me the schedule. Inject it into my veins. And just like you guys, as I start looking at it game by game to game, I'm starting to get worried. Over and over and over again, one thought comes to my mind. Damn, this is a difficult start to the season. I even said it, and I'm one of the biggest homers you'll find. I said, if we don't get off to a good start this season, it could be over by November again. Again. A nightmare. We've been talking about this damn 2026 season since last November, and it starts so difficult, it could be over by this November. You got to hit the ground running. But you could say that every single year. Part of the success of 2024 came because of the unexpected 7-2 start. Can this team hover around 500 and then get hot? The bye week is actually week 7 this year. Not the best spot, but I wanted it to be following the London trip. Apparently the players do not. Jeremy Reeves tweeted out that he didn't want an early bye. So the players, I guess, got what they wanted with it not being after the London game and it being week 7. And you come home to face the New York Giants after you get back from London. But the more I look at this schedule, the more I try to tell myself, I'm going to view it with an optimistic approach. And it's not as scary as you first thought, because it's really not the most difficult schedule. It's middle of the pack. And I keep telling myself, we got to stop with this negative energy. We've been dealing with negative energy for more than a year. And this team was awful. So I'm trying to tell myself things are as you perceive them. Total positive perspective on the Washington Commanders 2026 schedule. Number one, we get at Philly and we get at Dallas weeks 1 and 2. That's not a shock to anybody on the roster. We play at Philly and at Dallas on the road every single year. And years are we are good. We're not scared to go to Philly. When we're a playoff team, usually we go to Dallas and take care of them. Every memory I have, and there's not that many, of us being a playoff team, we've had not much trouble against Dallas, really. So we could split that or even sweep them. But we could certainly get a split in the first 2 weeks. We could definitely win one of those two games. And then later on, when we need a win for the division, we're going to get Philly at home and Dallas at home later in the season. Your home opener. So your home opener against the Super Bowl champions, and the negative opinion would be, well, that's the worst home opener. But I'm trying to stay positive, and that is, well, your home opener game will be your most exciting game of the season. That place will be rocking. It will have the most juice because fans have been waiting and waiting and waiting to see Jaden come back, to see Jaden start a game, to see Jaden at home, the home opener. You actually don't mind your home opener being against your most difficult home opponent because the fans will be so fired up. That game will be sold out. That's the positive approach to the home opener. You go to Indy to face off against the Colts. You come home and take on the Giants. So you come home to the easiest home game on the schedule after traveling internationally. You go to San Francisco, but the nice thing with the timing is you could go to San Francisco and put everything on the line because the bye is next week. Good timing for the bye because that's probably your most difficult road trip all the way out to the West Coast against San Francisco. Let's get rest after either a tough loss or recovery after a crucial win. Then it's Philly at home, Sunday Night Football, followed by L.A. at home after the bye week, right? So you come home from San Francisco, you get a bye week, you fully get rested and get ready to go for the second half of the season, and it is your most difficult stretch of home games, but it's after a bye. And last year, it felt like every single week the Commanders are playing games in which the team they're playing came off of a bye. It felt like that happened four or five times. Or they came off of the best performance of the season. Or they came off their worst performance of the season. We just got people at bad timing last year, it felt like. This year, I think that's really working in Washington's favor. That you get the bye week to fully rest and recover. And then it's definitely your most difficult two-game home stretch against Philly and L.A. But it's at home. And you got to rest. You're after the bye. Next four games. Most difficult road stretch of the season. Three of them are on the road. The longest road stretch of the season being three of four games in a row on the road with a Monday Night Football game against Cincinnati. The positive, it is the weakest opponents on the schedule. In New York, then they're in Arizona, then in Tennessee. I think we could beat Arizona on Earth, on Mars, on Pluto. Give me the Cardinals every season. Sign me up. As a kid, I remember that was the only two wins of the season, it felt like, every year when we were in their and they were in our division. Giants, Cardinals, Titans, the weakest opponents on the schedule during what is the toughest road stretch of the schedule. Then Houston and Atlanta at home to begin a crucial stretch run of the season. At Jacksonville, at Minnesota in late December and January. And Jacksonville had a really strong season, and I like Liam Cohen, but I'd rather face them later in the season. I'd rather face Minnesota later in the season as well. Dallas at home. Dallas at home to maybe put ourselves into the postseason. Reminds me of RG3, right? 2012. Like, I love Dallas at home to close the season. That is the exact matchup that I would hope for to close the season. Give me our arch rival, the Dallas Cowboys, in our building, with a chance to win the division, with a chance to get into the wild card, with a chance to be a playoff team. That's exactly what I want. That's the positive approach to the 2026 Washington Commanders schedule release. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. It's AWOD on the Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Happy Saturday, everybody, live and local. Here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 and Richmond 910 AM, 105.1 FM. I'd like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. You can call in 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. You can tweet us at AWOD Radio or at 106.7 The Fan. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. And I started the show by giving you guys the optimistic approach to the Commanders 2026-2027 schedule release. Yes, I agree with you. First glance, it's very difficult. As I talked about, though, you know, there's a lot of pros to this as well, with the cons of playing the Eagles and Cowboys on the road weeks 1 and 2. You're going to get them in your building in crucial parts of the season, right? We get the Eagles at home after a bye. That is so huge. Eagles at home, fully rested after a bye, and like I closed out last segment with, give me Dallas at home every year, every single season. I love that. And year after year after year, I've always broken the schedule down into four quarters, and it used to be the most simple thing ever. Four games equals a quarter. Four quarters equals 16 games. That's your season. And then they decided they wanted to add a 17th game, an 18th week. So I've divided the season into four quarters a little bit differently this year. Quarter number one is, for this year, the first five games of the season. That big five-game stretch to start the season is quarter number one. It's two games on the road, Philly and Dallas, the home opener against the Super Bowl champions, the international game against the Colts, and that Giants game being quarter number one for Washington. So, look, technically it's three home games, but really only two of them are played at Northwest Stadium in Landover, Maryland, and we are the home team in London. So I think the goal would be to go 2-3, or basically 2-2 with a tie, 3-2. You don't want to be anything worse than 2-3 after the first quarter of the season. And I think it's certainly possible to split the first two, split either at Philly or at Dallas. I'm probably leaning more towards us winning against Philly week one with our improved defense than week two. I'm really hoping that this change to the defensive front from a 4-3 to the 3-4, the additions of Leo Chenal, Sonny Styles, Adafe Owe, we're going to stop the run, right? Give me Dietrich Wise, Dorrance Armstrong, the plan from last year to stop the run. We have to stop the run. So that's the test week one, is can we stop Saquon Barkley? If we can stop Saquon Barkley, we have a chance in that game for sure. So week one, try to stop the run, and then against Dallas, you know they're going to air it out against us, and we'll have the first test, really, for our secondary. And then, like I said, Seahawks at home, Colts internationally, and then Giants at home. Giants are one of the easiest home games on the schedule. You get it after you come back from London. That's the first quarter of the season. The second quarter of the season, in my mind, includes the 49ers game on Monday Night Football in San Francisco. Has to be our most difficult road game of the season, right? You travel from the East Coast to the West Coast. Your body's still probably going to be a little jet-lagged from coming back from London. It's a Monday night, primetime, standalone game, October 19th in San Francisco. The second quarter of the season includes the bye week, includes the two home games following that of Philadelphia and the LA Rams. The third quarter of the season, in my mind, is the four games that we talked about last segment, in which three of them are on the road. The most crucial road stretch of the season. In New York, home Cincy, Monday Night Football, road Arizona, road Tennessee. And then the fourth quarter of the season would be the final five-game stretch. And again, your first stretch of the season, five games, three of them are considered home, with the international game, Washington being the home team. Five games to close out the season, the final quarter, three of them are at home, right? That is the four quarters of the season, the way I would break them down this year. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. That fourth quarter of the season is going to be, hopefully, the chance where Washington can make a run to get into the postseason. Those back-to-back home games against Houston and Atlanta, you know, those are two teams that are interesting. I mean, Houston is a team on the rise that has a very strong defense and has been a threat to be in the playoffs and win a playoff game since D'Amico Ryans took over. Atlanta, changing coaching staffs once again. But, man, that's going to be the big test for our defense here against Bijan. I think we played the Falcons 3 years in a row and have not had the most success now against Bijan Robinson. So, That's a very important two-game home stretch right there. As we said, the road trips this year, like, I kind of feel like we got a little bit lucky. I mean, Minnesota's a tough place to play, and we got our ass beat last year in Minnesota, and Jaden got hurt. But I don't think it's the most difficult road game at all. And then in Jacksonville in January. So, like, at that point in the season, playing Minnesota and Jacksonville, to me, that's a lot better than playing them earlier in the season. Minnesota, for example, might have changed quarterbacks multiple times by then. You cannot tell me that Kyler Murray is going to start the entire season for the Minnesota Vikings. I don't know if I believe that. He didn't last with the Cardinals for a full season. Is he even going to win the starting job over McCarthy? Will they be going back and forth? We don't know who's going to be the quarterback for them by December 26th. And then for Jacksonville, like, they're a playoff team, but they just feel so streaky. Like, they're a team that gets real hot and wins a couple and then looks awful. I want them late in the season rather than at the beginning of the season, because I think they're going to come into the season hot. So that's my take on the 2026 Washington Commanders schedule. I'll give you wins and losses a little bit later on the show today. I like to predict the Commanders record three times. I know some people hate that bit. I love it. My friends love it. I think all millennials seem to love it. I have not met a millennial that doesn't pull up a schedule and go win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, tie. We all do. It's in our DNA. So I do three official predictions. I'll do one today. I will do one after preseason, after training camp, and I will do one more after preseason. Phone lines are open throughout the show. 1-800-636-1067. 1-800-636-1067. I like to make this the most interactive radio show possible. If you're too busy to call in, you could tweet us at AWAD Radio, AWADDRADIO. If it's a good tweet, we'll read it on air. We've got the Rooster. Chris Russell will be joining us at 10 a.m., all right? Chris Russell, the Rooster, will join us at 10 a.m., talk about this schedule release and what the Commanders have done this offseason. Chase Hughes at 11 a.m. I got a tweet from LifeWave. AWAD, I hope you bring up the Wizards winning the lottery. I've got a whole hour dedicated to what the Washington Wizards have done this offseason and what I'm looking forward to about next season. So we will do a Wizards Wire Hour. Bring back Wiztown at 11 o'clock with Chase Hughes. But more of our thoughts on the Commanders' schedule when we return. It's AWAD here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWAD. Happy Saturday, everybody. Appreciate you making me part of your Saturday morning routine as we are live and local here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. Love doing this show so much, getting to talk about my favorite teams in town. And we started the show by talking about the Commanders' schedule release. Give us your thoughts. 1-800-636-1067. What is the most difficult stretch of the season? Is there a game that you believe is must win? 1-800-636-1067. Willis tweets me, AWAD, this is a test to see where the organization now is in their third year of ownership. If they can get to 5-5 at the halfway point, the second half of the schedule, they can make a run. That's what I'm saying. I think a lot of the fan base believes that if this team can hover around 500 with the final seven games being Arizona, Tennessee, Houston, Atlanta, Minnesota, Jacksonville, Dallas, we could be a playoff team. And I do feel the same way. I do feel the same way that we can get hot. But also, you know, you can't act like the season doesn't begin until there's seven games left. We have to find a way to surprise some people in one of these early games. And it might be week one in Philly. Mark tweets me, AWAD, it's not as bad as you think about the first game of the year. Often it's a coin toss. And who knows about Dallas? It appears they'll be much improved on defense. And look, the first game of the season, you really don't know what's coming. And so that could be a positive for Washington. Nobody knows what Durante Jones' defense is going to look like. Nobody has any idea what David Blau's first play calls are going to look like. That is going to be a shock for Philly. Maybe it'll work in our favor. Weatherby tweets me, AWAD, I think it's safe to say, judging by this year's pro sports playoffs in all sports, defense, the most important thing to be best at because that's what wins games, keeping the other team off the scoreboard. I'm going to keep echoing that. Exactly. The Seahawks were so good defensively this past year. They made Sam Darnold become a household name. And, of course, the New England Patriots, they got back to a great level of defense, and Drake May skated by with, like, nine turnovers in the postseason and making it all the way to the Super Bowl. If you want to chime in, 1-800-636-1067. The show does not begin on AWAD Radio until we argue with Mark in Largo. What's up, Mark? You're on the Fan with AWAD.
I don't think we're going to argue today, though.
All right. How are you feeling, man?
I'm doing fine. How you doing, buddy?
Good.
I actually think Washington is going to do pretty well this year. And I think you brought up something that made a lot of sense. They don't really have a lot of cold weather games this year. So I think that works to their advantage. I got this team going 13-4, maybe 12-5, but they'll clinch the division probably by the time they play either Houston or Jacksonville, one or the other. Look, let me explain why I feel this way about this team, even though I've been complaining about them for months.
Yeah.
They're going to have one of the fastest defenses in the league, point blank. Their linebackers are going to be one of the fastest that they're going to have in the league, and I think they're going to be very tough. Here's the reason why I think they're going to sweep the Eagles this year. First of all, no one can tell me, and you can't tell an Eagles fan, how trading A.J. Brown helps your team to win more games. In fact, I think you lose three or four more games losing, getting rid of A.J. Brown. Mekhi Lemon is good. A.J. Smith, the guy they got, is good too. They're not A.J. Brown, okay? And that's you can't do that. Plus, it makes Philadelphia one-dimensional. It's either Saquon or Bust. And I don't think anybody's going to be able to run side to side on this defense because this defense is going to be extremely fast. Dallas, on the other hand, here's where I feel about the Cowboys. I think the Cowboys have a good secondary probably, but not a good front seven that I feel that Washington can expose on the offensive side of the ball, and they're going to be able to expose defensively because they're going to get to Dak Prescott. I'm not buying the Giants because, frankly, no one talks about this with John Harbaugh. John Harbaugh, has, since 2022, has lost more games having double-digit leads than any coach in the league. But, see, no one wants to talk about that in New York. They're still in la-la land about that. This team will be, on their third season, will be the team they're supposed to be. This is about redemption this year. Redemption for Dan Quinn, redemption for Adam Peters, and most importantly, redemption for Jaden Daniels. I think that's why I got this team going 12-5 or 13-4, being a number two seed to the Rams, playing them out in L.A. for the NFC title game, which, by the way, Adam, if they have an NFC title game out in L.A., that's a home game for Jaden Daniels because that's San Bernardino live. We saw that last year when they went and beat the Chargers out there. That was a home game for him. That's going to be a home game for him again. Plus, the Super Bowl's played out there, which would also be a home game for Jaden Daniels as well, too.
Mark, I love the positivity today, man. I love the energy that you're bringing. I appreciate you chiming in. I'm going to build off of what you were saying around the NFC East here. And look, Washington is coming into a season in which you're right. This is the third year for the head coach, third mm-hmm. year for the quarterback, third year for the general manager. They need to look like a team that's been building for 3 years.
Yeah.
And I'm excited for this speed on the defensive side of the ball. The thing about the Eagles is it feels like they're either winning the division again or they're an injury away from falling easily to third or fourth place in this division.
Yeah, yeah. But see, more importantly with that, Adam, is I just don't – A.J. Brown has carried Jalen Hurts the last 3 or 4 years. He doesn't even look at any other receiver, just A.J. Brown. And I just think Jalen Hurts is just going to take a step. He's had too many. I think this is the year where you're going to see all these new OCs. It hasn't helped Jalen Hurts at all, and I think it's going to hurt them. And I just think that if you really look at Washington, Washington's been toe-to-toe with Philadelphia the last 2 years. I don't know what they do when they play Dallas, but they've been toe-to-toe with Philadelphia the last 2 years. I'm not worried about the Eagles. I think they can go to Philadelphia and beat them. That's not a problem for me. They got to get over that hump of beating Dallas in Dallas. They got to get over the hump of beating Dak when Dak plays. That's the most important thing. If they can beat Dak down there, which I believe they will, I believe they will go down there that second game of the season and beat Dallas. I don't know if there's going to be a blowout if they beat them, but I believe Jaden's going to show up, and they're going to show out, and they beat Dallas. I don't know about beating Seattle. I think it's going to be a competitive game against Seattle. I'm tired of Seattle coming over here and slapping us around. I think it'll be a competitive game. The four losses I got them losing right now are Seattle, the Rams, the Texans, it's going to be a close game, and Jacksonville. Maybe Dallas last game of the season because they probably won't win it. Jaden probably won't be playing, and they've got the second seed locked up. So that's really how I got this team going. I think they're going to be ready.
I love it. Hey, Mark, my only thing for you is keep this same energy in August when we're talking training camp and early September, all right? Because you just told me here in May we're sitting Jaden Daniels against Dallas because we'll already have it locked up. I just want you to keep that same energy that Jaden Daniels is going to be so good we're going to sit him because the playoffs will already be guaranteed.
Look, we both want this team to win, don't we?
Absolutely.
I tell you what, though, we do got to talk about the Wizards, though. Next week we'll talk about the Wizards.
I love it. I love it.
Story in hand, but we'll talk about them.
Good right, call, man. Appreciate you chiming in.
Great.
Yep. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. How do the Commanders get back to their winning ways, right? So much success year one with Jaden Daniels, 12-5, that flip to 5-12. The schedule has come out. How do they navigate this schedule, especially with a difficult early part of the season, to manage to get back to the postseason? Because expectations for me are playoffs. I actually will say this. If we're not in the playoffs, you can fire Dan Quinn. You can fire Dan. And I'm like the biggest Dan Quinn supporter around. But he needs to get this team back into the postseason. We have not made the playoffs back-to-back years in my entire life. I don't want to talk Super Bowl. I want to talk making the playoffs 2 years in a row. That's important to me. Then we can talk Super Bowl. It's AWOD here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan. Simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. And I just read this online here. It says, toughest DVOA front-loaded schedules. Commanders have a top five first half of the season, 26 second half of the season, according to DVOA projections. Look, that kind of matches exactly what we've been saying. The most difficult part of the season is the first half, including the first two quarters of the season, but most importantly, probably the first three games, right? On the road in Philly, on the road in Dallas. You do not want to be 0-2. Do not want to be 0-2 hosting the freaking Super Bowl champions, right? I mean, as much as I'm staying positive here, let me look at the negative approach for a second here. There's a chance that Dan Quinn is going to London coaching for his job if we're 0-3, or coming back from London 0-4, desperate to beat the New York Giants to save his ass. I mean, this season could go south. I didn't expect last season to go south. I did a damn dumb segment last year about how this team could go 17-0. I thought we were so damn good. We were not. We got punched in the mouth and never got up again. And so what game is that going to be this year, right? Like week two last year against the Green Bay Packers, I was in Lambeau. Oh, my goodness, was I super excited. Iconic field, I'm there. Washington's 1-0, Thursday Night Football, the entire planet's talking about us, and we never recovered from that loss. We did win the next week against the Raiders, but just we were not the same team, right? Jaden didn't even play. Austin Eckler didn't return. Dietrich Wise was gone. Like, that was our body bag game last year. What's going to be that for Washington this year? I kind of think it could be that week six game in San Francisco. But the nice thing is that we have the bye the following week right after that. Because that's going to be, a nightmare matchup. That is, I think San Francisco is going to be one of the top teams in the NFC this season. We're in their building, Monday Night Football, prime time. I mean, just talk about a nearly impossible game to win. But I thought that was Cincinnati, 2024, and yet we got that victory there. I gave out my official prediction on my show on Friday. I'll give you my thoughts right now. I think we can win week one in Philly. I'm giving us a loss, though, week two in Dallas, and I think Commanders fans should absolutely be thrilled with a 1-1 split in the first two games of the season, both of them being on the road and inside of the division. I'm going to be the first guy that will tell you, unless Chris Russell or Grant Paulson already beat me to it, I'm predicting us to beat Seattle. I think Seattle does take a big step back this year because of the loss of their offense coordinator, who was kind of the architect behind that offense being so good. I don't give Sam Darnold as much credit as I do Kubiak, who got the Raiders job. Sam Darnold maybe falls back down to earth a little bit, not having the best running back in football last year. It was Kenneth Walker, especially in the postseason. He's now with the Chiefs. And defense is so year by year. As much as I think Mike McDonald's schemes are unbelievable and he's a young boy wonder on the defensive side of the ball, I don't think they're going to be a top three defense again. So come into our building. Once again, I started the show with this. That place is going to be rocking. FedEx Field, Northwest Stadium, Landover, Maryland, whatever you want to call it. Fans of the Burgundy and Gold have been waiting since last November, right, to see Jaden Daniels play a meaningful football game again, right, and it be at home. That is the biggest game. It's our home opener every year. That is such a big day for every team. Your home opener, you get it against the Super Bowl champions. I think we're winning that one, all right? I'm giving us a loss internationally and then a win coming back home against the Giants to finish 3-2 through the first five games of the season. I don't see us winning in San Francisco, 3-3 at the bye. Once again, as we've talked about, I think Commanders fans should be thrilled at 3-3 and hitting the bye week at week 7. 3-3 hitting the bye week gives you a chance to make a run in the second half of the season and be a playoff team. Philly at home, I had us beating Philly, so I can't have us sweeping the Eagles. I don't see that happening, but I will have us beating the Rams the following week to stay at 500 at 4-4. Going to New York to take on the Giants. If you believe this is a playoff team, you beat the Giants twice. It feels like my entire life, when we are a playoff team, we sweep the Giants. We don't always sweep Philly. Definitely don't always sweep the Cowboys. When we're a playoff team, we sweep the Giants. So give me a win week 10 against the New York Giants to get to 5-4. Cincy, Monday Night Football at home. I'm going to say the opposite of what happened last time, because to beat Cincinnati on the road in Monday Night Football in primetime, Jaden Daniels needed to be perfect. The offense went an entire game without punting the football. And given all of that, Joe Burrow still gave his team a chance, and we had to hit Terry McLaurin in the end zone to win it. Unfortunately, I'm giving Joe Burrow the win in that one there against the Cincinnati Bengals. So, look, the team, it takes some, get some wins, get some losses, but you're setting up so that you have an absolute chance on the final seven games of the season here to make the playoffs. That is Cardinals on the road, Titans on the road, those two home games, Houston, Atlanta, two more road games, Minnesota, Jacksonville, and then closing out against the Dallas Cowboys. Can you finish 4-3 in that stretch there? And that would put you at 9-8. I think you can definitely finish 5-2 in that stretch and get to 10-7. I'm staying with 10-7 as my first official prediction here on AWOD Radio. I will revisit this after training camp. I will revisit for a final time after preseason. We do know about our preseason games, including the Miami Dolphins coming to Ashburn to have a joint practice ahead of the first preseason game against the Dolphins. And joint practices are so crucial. They're more important than preseason games, it feels like now, because coaches can put whatever situation they want on the field. You could go a whole preseason game and not face a third and long. You can do a joint practice and do nothing but third and longs, right? They can do a ton of red zone work. So I think if Dan Quinn had his way, he would have three joint practices every single year. I think if majority of coaches had their way, preseason would go bye-bye, and you would just have joint practices that are at the NFL stadiums that you invite fans to. I think that might even be more attended than preseason games. If it's a joint practice that might have kind of a scrimmage at the end that's 11-on-11. But right now, preseason is a terrible product. I have no interest in going to preseason games. I only watch them in the fourth quarter to take notes for my show. But these joint practices, oh my God. Every joint practice I've been to has been electric. Last year, it felt like all day I wanted to read Linnell Willingham, John Kimes tweets about our joint practice against the New England Patriots. I mean, that was look at Twitter that day when we were on the road. Anybody that wasn't there was trying to find out what's happening. I mean, these joint practices are awesome. They're way more important than preseason. Our first was announced week one of the preseason, taking on the Miami Dolphins. If you want to chime in, phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. We've got the Rooster, Chris Russell, coming up at 10 a.m. We've got Chase Hughes coming up at 11 a.m., and I've got a ton of very positive thoughts about the Washington Wizards. I'm super excited that we won the NBA draft lottery. I'm calling it the Mother's Day miracle. The Mother's Day miracle. I had a good Mother's Day brunch last Sunday, and then I told her I need to be in front of the TV watching the NBA draft lottery. I let out a howl when we did not get the number 5 pick. I was just assuming that's what was going to happen, and another scream when we got number 1. We'll talk Washington Wizards at 11 o'clock. More thoughts on the Commanders' schedule with Chris Russell on the other side of this commercial break. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. If you're enjoying this show, please check me out during the week on the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Just download it today. Search 910 The Fan. You can hear me Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. That's Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 p.m. on 910 a.m. on the free Odyssey app, or check out the podcast, Best of AWOD Radio, is available for you every day on your ride home. This show, AWOD on Saturday mornings, becomes a podcast. Metal Chris puts it together. You search Overtime on 106.7 The Fan. Chris Russell coming up next here on AWOD Radio.